We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Nice Trade Cast on the RotoViz Radio Network. I am your host, Nathan Powell, and this evening I am joined not by Dan Sanyo. He is out of commission for this evening, out of commission for the week. So I took a call to the bullpen. I need to get a nice closer in. So I'm bringing in my good friend, John Bosch. How are you this evening, John?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I'll go back to my baseball terms and ask if I'm here for a blown save. I believe that's what I'm getting set up for, right?
No, we always bring you in for the lights out 1-2-3 inning with John Bosch. So
not as you yes.
Okay. So as usual, when John and I get on the microphone, we usually talk some sort of commish stuff because John loves commish stuff. I also love commish stuff. So if you were listening the last couple weeks, we did our QB and RB report cards, you know, handing out some grades for the first half. For the season. We're going to take a break from that since we're missing Dan. I don't want my co-teacher to be like, well, how did you give who's a wide receiver? How did you give Elijah Moore a B+? It should have been an A+. So I'm going to take a break from that and we're going to talk some commish stuff. So first thing we're going to talk about, and I'm going to call somebody out here and I'm going to just put two names out there. Cause I can't remember who I read it from today. It was either Heath Cummings or Jody Smith. I love both of them. One of them said that as commissioners, we should be flexible with the COVID breakouts that are occurring right now, and we should maybe loosen different, you know, IR rules or loosen different waiver rules. And I don't really get on Twitter fights anymore. But if I were, I would have gotten into a Twitter fight saying it's asinine to change any sort of rules in week 14, especially because we've been doing this for 2 years. Like, your rules should have accounted for the possibility of craziness. And if they didn't, then that's your own fault, basically. as I'm basically, ragging on a fellow fantasy analyst, fantasy writer, John, what are your thoughts on adjusting in season with COVID craziness?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of adjusting in season. I should have been taken care of in advance. I mean, we've talked for 2 years now. They have unlimited IR. Like, there's no reason to limit an IR in any league. But you can't go back. You can't go back and change it. I mean, I guess if you want to, what you can do is you can talk to your league. I'm guessing this is one that has like limited waiver runs or something like that. It's one of those leagues where like we have waivers on Wednesdays and Saturdays and that's it. And there's no first come, first serve or anything like that. If the league is set up that way, one, fix that. But I mean, I think you do have to kind of gauge the reaction of your league. If the whole league is supportive and says, you know, hey, like we need to have something happen on Sunday morning for us to be able to replace these guys. We're playing with really short teams right now. So I would talk to my league. I would, you know, make a decision on my own. It's not something I would even put to a vote because there's no reason to vote on anything at this point. Because some people are going to vote for whatever selfishly helps them. We're in the playoffs. There's money on the line. And others are going to vote for what selfishly helps them the other direction. So, like, there's not even really a point to that. I would just have a discussion in league if I felt it was really necessary, like if I did have, I'm not going to call them bad rules because all rules are fine. You just all play by them. But if I had rules that prevented flexibility at all, you know, if I did have those Wednesday, Saturdays and no first come first serves, I probably would gauge the temperature of my league on saying, hey, how about we open it up to first come first serve after the Saturday waivers at least. And that way people can replace people as they get put on COVID IR.
Yeah, you do bring up a good point that maybe I'm just being all bah humbug, grumpy old man here. But like at the end of the day, if there's, you know, 12 fantasy managers and all 12 are like, yeah, this is a good idea, or all 12 are like, yeah, this makes sense, even if it doesn't like make sense for them, their fantasy team personally, like who cares? Like if the 12 people involved all like it, it's fine. And even if it's like 11, who cares? But I do think that it brings up a bigger point, and I guess COVID would have been like the one time in the last 2 years where we could have had a reasoning for in-season rule changes. Is there any other time that you've seen, I know that you and Scott and pretty much I think most of the commissioners that we talk to have that whole like league's best interest clause. And are you often it's probably not the operative word here, but like, is there a time you're really invoking that in season?
No.
Yeah.
It's there. And the fact that it's there basically does give me the chance. Like if somebody kind of even hints at doing something, like, cause a lot of times people try to test the waters, like in the chat first, like, hey, what if I did something like this? And I'm usually pretty clear. Like, no, that's definitely not allowed in this league. Like just cause it doesn't say it in the bylaws that it's not. I mean, you can't write everything out. Oh, you simply can't do that. That's just not possible. So it's not the, you know, everything that's not written is legal. It's going to be my call in my leagues because that's just how I run them. But luckily, I've been pretty good with getting pretty lucky with managers that I haven't had to deal with that a lot.
Yeah, and in leagues that have unique rules, like I talked about with the league with no name leagues, I feel like every year somebody finds, like, not even necessarily a loophole, just like one way to clearly give themselves in another manager a distinct advantage. I'm like, now I have to put that in the bylaws. Like,
yeah.
And it's one of those things that, like, to an extent, I like that owner because they you know, show me my weaknesses. They poke holes. But then also that manager is the pain in my butt that, like, makes me adjust my bylaws four times per year.
I had one where I had to specify that when you miss your auction nomination, you're out of the auction. Like, I've never put that in a bylaw set because I just always assumed that. This person then traded, like, and opened up roster space and made the argument that now they have space, they can get back in the auction. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I was the person they got back in to bid up against. So I didn't make the ruling in my favor on the spot. Like, if it was any other manager, I'd have been like, no, you're not getting back in. But I was like, whatever. It's hard for me to make the ruling for myself from that standpoint. But I'm like, when have you ever seen any auction where if you miss your nomination, your auction is not immediately over? Like, you can't just get back in. But so now that's in all my bylaws.
So while we're on the topic of COVID, we're not going to talk about your day job.
Yeah.
Do you envision all of your COVID bylaws staying the same, or even you know, ramping up for 2022? Or do you think that is more of a question that we would answer in July and August?
I actually love the expanded IR, like, and that's not going away. That's not going away with COVID. Not that COVID's going away anytime soon, unfortunately, it doesn't look like. But I mean, the NFL now, they can put guys on IR for, what is it, 3 weeks? I think it's like the minimum now. So the NFL relaxed their injured reserve rules. I think it's kind of okay for us to reflect that and have more relaxed injured reserve rules. So I love the unlimited IR. Now, I do have a stipulation in all mine. Like, you can't pull some guy off the waiver wire.
Yeah, you can't.
And put him on your IR immediately. Like, because then you're just going to stash 50 guys that are on the waiver wire on your IR. One, that's just pointless and clogs up the transaction log. It's very annoying. But, I mean, that's not what the intent is for. The intent is for when you have three or four guys getting hurt in a week, which we are all having right now, you know, you got to be able to put them on IR so that you don't have to get rid of them and you can open up that space.
Yeah, and you can argue one way or the other about this, but essentially that game is just who can spot the guy who's on IR first. Like, oh, like, you know, Jarrett McKinnon just went on IR, stash him. Jordan Love just went on IR in one QB league, stash him. So I do one thing that I do think is getting proposed a little bit more often, and I don't know if this is COVID related or just more injuries with this, the 17-18 game season, but I have had people ask me, we at one time I was in the Capitalist Pigs, I believe you're still in the Capitalist Pigs leagues, the IR and Capitalist Pigs, you can, as soon as a player has the O symbol next to them, they can be put on IR. I personally, I don't have that in my leagues. And I think part of that is because I think that that just makes the waiver wire too barren. And we've had this conversation several times before, but I do think that there should be a possibility for you to like win without being like the person who is glued to the waiver wire and always making every single move and always making every single trade. Like, that shouldn't be like a requirement for you to compete in a fantasy league. And I think in leagues where you have the O where they can be placed on IR, that is a severe disadvantage to someone who isn't making like 18 waiver claims per week.
It probably is. I don't mind rewarding those people, but I also don't have first come, first serve in a lot of my leagues. Most of my leagues are auction-based and they're bankrolls. So, like, you have to pay no matter what. And then I'm fine. Like, if you want to take 18 guys a week and you're spending every time, that's fine, because then you're just decreasing your budget. As for the guys that are out, Pigs is a thin league. I mean, like, it's a thin roster, so it makes a little bit of sense there. In leagues that I run where we have, like, you know, 28 to 30 is typically what I make the roster size, I don't think it's needed. You can get enough guys on your IR from IR. And if a bunch of guys are just O and they're out, well, they're not going to be out for 3 weeks. So maybe you take the hit for 1 week, but then you gotta figure out a different way.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that made me like contemplate adding O to my IRs for next year is that COVID for vaccinated players is basically just an O. Like, they're missing 1 week, like 2 weeks, absolute max. So, like, it seems like it's a weird thing to say, oh, like, this guy who has a hamstring strain, he can't go on IR, but this guy who's on the COVID list, he's probably going to be back in 2 weeks, he can't go on, I mean, he can go on the IR, which maybe that problem would then be like, oh, does COVID no longer have an IR spot? But that, I think that would cause some problems as well. So,
yeah, there's, I mean, for now, we don't know what the NFL, what their policy will be for 2022. And once we do, I mean, I'm not against making a change to how my COVID IR is set up, but I won't do that until I know exactly what the NFL does. I think they'll continue to operate pretty much the same as they have been. And then I'll just continue to operate the same as I've been the last 2 years too.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, let's move on to our next topic. We're done with COVID for now. This is a topic that's been hot in the streets. By hot in the streets, I mean there's like four or five people in your mentions talking about it. players in one of your leagues brought up tradable seeds.
Oh, yeah.
So you have a guy who essentially he's going to get the sixth seed, or he has the sixth seed. He doesn't want it. He's like, I would much rather compete for the toilet bowl. I would much rather see versus the six. So you brought up the concept of tradable seeds. It seems like that you're going to try 2022. So I guess you're in favor of it, but kind of talk through the pros and the cons as you've thought this through in your head.
It's probably going to happen in my power hungry league, which is the league where this is brought up. And that's already like a rule set that is so unique and different from anything else. That's the league where I have superpowers, where so you can actively play defense against another team. If you play a power, you can stop a player, stuff like that. So it's already a league that is different from your basic vanilla fantasy football league. In this guy, it was actually the difference between getting the sixth seed, or he would have had the ninth place. Like he outperformed. Like he won games that he just shouldn't have all year. He won. He did win this weekend too. So now he's going to get a top four auction budget, and his team is it needs help. He admitted it beforehand that like he would have kind of preferred to have that ninth ranked auction budget, which is a lot going to be a lot higher than, you know, or the ninth place, I should say, ninth place budget, which would actually be the fifth highest budget. Now he's going to have a top four budget, so he's not going to get nearly as much money for next year's auction. He kind of jokingly said it, but then he said he was only half joking. I do think it's interesting. Like he was like, what if I wish I wasn't in the playoffs. And when he said that, I was like, it would be really interesting if you could trade your playoff spot. Like he doesn't want to be in it. There might be another team or two that they're peaking now. Like maybe they had some injuries throughout the middle of the year, but now they're actually healthy and they feel like they can make a run. Wouldn't it be kind of fun if they could trade their playoff spot to them? Like, I have no idea what the market would be. I've never seen a trade for anything like that. So when something like that occurs to me, I'm like, wow, that's intriguing. Like, how much would you pay to get into a playoff spot? Like, would you give up a second to move to a playoff spot? What happens if you're the number one seed? Man, you think your team is just hot. Like, you feel like you are going to roll the playoffs. How much would you give up, or what would it take for you to give up that guaranteed first week bye and take on the risk of losing? Like, it's going to backfire on somebody at some point. I don't want that to be me.
Yeah, I do think that's more the concept of trading for the bye is much more intriguing to me than trading for the playoff spot. Trading for the playoff spot, I think, is going to end up in you being disappointed more often than not if you're not one of the top six teams.
Probably.
Unless it's like one of those like head-to-head leagues where it's only head-to-head and like you could be the second highest scoring team and be the eighth seed. Like outside of that type of format, I think that if you're trading into the playoffs, you're probably not going to win the championship. You know, the odds are eventually it's going to happen, but I wouldn't be a team that's looking to do that. But if I was a 3 or 4 seed, or you know, maybe a 5 seed that was getting hot, I would very much look at trading for a 2 seed to get that bye. And one of the things about a bye in your traditional six playoffs, half teams are eliminated each week type of thing, or head to head, is that if you have a bye, you're guaranteed at minimum to be in the third place game. And in most leagues, the third place game pays for your buy-in. So like if I was a team that was like, hey, like I want to try and at least play myself into some money here, I'm going to trade for that buy. So I think that's something that I would look at doing. I don't know if I would ever do this outside of a league that was specifically like for like something crazy, like the power hungry leagues. Yeah. But I do think it's a very interesting concept that would result in some interesting trades.
Yeah, I really want to see what the market is on it. It's going to be wild. I have a feeling just based on the conversation that we had in the chat, nobody came out like vehemently against it. And most people were like, wow, that's kind of interesting. Granted, again, it's a bunch of degenerates that already play in a pretty wild league.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't for your traditional like Yahoo 10-team redraft.
No, this is a 14-team league and they are all crazy people.
All right, before we head into our second half of the show, we're going to talk some playoffs and some Kaleidoscope league talk. But before we get into that, I want to tell you about RotoViz. Get your RotoViz on. It's the perfect holiday gift for your husband, your wife, your uncle, your brother. Get their RotoViz on. RV Radio 2021 gets a 10% discount and it helps support the pod. Get all access to all the great tools like the GameSplits app, like the Box Score Scout, and even the Fantasy Points app that we've been talking about in recent weeks. So make sure you get your Rotoviz on. RV Radio 2021, help support the podcast. We appreciate you. All right. Now let's just get into some typical general playoff rule talk. I feel like we talk about these every year, and I'm honestly not sure how many listeners we pick up per year. I don't know how many of you are listening for the first time and have never heard me talk about the playoffs. If you haven't, here's a treat. If you have, then hear this redundancy. Here we go. my general thing first off with the playoffs is that I hate matchups. Kind of like from my first like few times I played fantasy, I was like, playoff matchups stink. Being like the 3 seed and getting outscored by the 6 seed, but having outscored the 4 and the 5 seed is just all sorts of painful. It's like, oh, I just lucked into, or, unlucked into facing the 6 seed when they were getting hot. So I am vehemently for the top half teams advance each week, whether you have 6 playoff teams, 12 playoff teams, no matter how many teams you have, there's ways to fit in, top half teams advance each week. So John, what are your general thoughts on a lack of matchups? And is there one playoff rule where you're like, this is in all of my leagues, or this would be in all my leagues in the perfect world?
Yeah. And I actually think it takes away the requirement of having the all play format. I use callouts in my league. So you didn't luck into the 3 versus 6 seed. The person who earns the 3 seed in the first week of the playoffs, they get to choose their matchup between the 4, 5, and 6. So from that standpoint, then, like, it's on them to pick the right person, and they can't blame random anything. They chose their matchup. They could choose the 4 seed. They could choose the 5 seed. They could choose the 6 seed. Because I do still like the head-to-head stress. I do like the all-play, too. I have leagues that have that. And I play in plenty of leagues that have that as well. So I do like both of those formats of fantasy. Mine, because I love the call-out aspect. Like, I straight up love that day. I love getting to post this huge Twitter thread on Tuesdays when the people, they can make a call-out. And that's just, that adds so much fun to the league when you have to pick the person you're saying, I am going to beat you to advance in the playoffs. It's hard to do. It is really hard to be the person choosing. And it doesn't feel great when you get chosen, to be honest.
So do you think that generally when you're making alterations to your traditional playoff setup, do you think that it should give advantages to the top 2 teams, the bye teams? Or do you think that discourages parity, that discourages people from trying to, get the, chip in a chair type mentality with the 6 seed? For me, I generally like to try and reward those top teams as much as possible just because of the luck involved in the playoffs. But I can't, like, so I'm in the Kitchen Sink Leagues. And the Kitchen Sink Leagues do heavily give advantages to the teams that are top 2 seeds in the fact that essentially you get to what would be the championship round from your conference by getting... you have 2 weeks to choose from. So your highest score between 2 weeks is the score that advances. And that is a huge advantage over the other teams that are just playing with, okay, this is the 1 week I have to play. So do you like, prohibitive advantages for those bye teams? Do you more so on the side of let's try and get as much parity as possible?
I don't mind giving the top big advantages. And like this, so the second week in my playoffs, then the 1 seed gets to make the call out. They get to choose between the 2 seed or the 2 winners from the previous week. So there's advantages all the way through mine too. It's not as heavily as the Kitchen Sink where you get 2 shots at a score. That is a significant advantage when you get 2 chances at it. But you earn it. I mean, you do have to earn it. So it keeps people playing hard at the top all the way through the year. It definitely feels harder to win that league than if you go in as the 5th or 6th seed, but I don't think it actually prevents anybody from trying to get the 5th or 6th seed because people still want to get in and try and make the playoffs in those leagues. So the playoffs, but you are definitely giving an incentive to being up higher.
Yeah, for sure. I'm trying to think of any other playoff type topics. Do you like multiple week playoffs or carryover? So one rule that I have implemented in most of my leagues is I don't have a 2-week championship, but I have, and so with the updated week 17 championship, basically the semifinals are week 16, and then two teams advance and their scores carry over to week 17. So it's not a 2-week matchup, but it is like
somebody comes in with a lead.
Yes.
That's a lot more work on the commish.
It's not. It's really not that hard.
It is. You have to do math, and then you have to go in and hit score adjustment, or you have to track it off the site. I do have it in some of mine. I mean, there are some of my leagues where all 14 teams play the entire 3 weeks of the playoffs. Some people have a 3-week matchup to decide the 14th and 13th place in the league. Now, granted, this is one where like you get a point if you finish 13th and you get zero if you finish 14th. So we've competed a bunch of different formats. So you have to play the entire time. As for the 2-week thing, it's just not for me. I've been in some and I find them less exciting because the first week you play in it, you know, it's not over. So like, you know, there's always a chance you could come back. But then by the time that second week rolls around, like you're already either up by a decent amount or you're down by a decent amount. Maybe you do come in even, and that's probably pretty exciting. The ones that I've been in, usually it's one way or the other because somebody has a good first week and somebody has a less good first week. And so, you know, somebody comes in with a 20-point lead, and then it just feels like it feels like kind of a deflated championship game. Maybe you can come back and it gets really exciting. But for me, I like that one game. I like that one game excitement.
Yeah. And this sounds a bit silly to an extent, but like, I like it the most when it has a very minimal impact, but it has an impact. It's like, okay, like you clearly played better last week, but it's not over yet. Like yeah. That. So I like to have some impact, but not too much where it's a 30-point lead. And it's okay, I can already just send out payouts now.
Yeah.
All right. We got a few minutes left. I want to just get, and you might not have a soliloquy ready for me, but I want to just get your year one thoughts of Kaleidoscope. For those that don't know about Kaleidoscope, it is a 100 manager league, and everyone selected their own team based off of, I believe it was the DLF Champions League ADP, or no, what was the?
No, it was just Kevin O'Brien pools ADP from My Fantasy League startups.
Okay, it wasn't the DLF Champions League or whatever. It was just all.
No, I mean, some of those were in there, I think.
Okay,
it wasn't exclusive to those because there wasn't enough of them. I mean, he pulled like over 30 startups to get us some really good ADP.
So essentially, everyone started out with 30 picks 1 through 30, and there was a lot of trading. There was a lot more trading than I was expecting. I'm not sure why I was expecting less trading, but there were during like the height of trading, there was probably like 6 or 7 trades per day in this 100-person league, and that was like on a slow day.
And this was before the ADP was even released. People just started trading rounds here and there, trying to gain little advantages, hoping for the ADP to fall their way. It was crazy.
So everyone drafted essentially, you know, if you didn't make any trades, you got one player from each round. You could have reached per se. So like if you didn't like anyone in the 9th round, you could have taken 2 10th round players if you had one of every pick on format going in. One critique per se, and this is more so like a personal preference thing, and I still have like the same like feeling about it every time. I feel like with a 100-person league, there might be too many. It's like there's too many options and it's overwhelming. What are your thoughts on that? Do you feel overwhelmed when you go to the trade screen with 99 trade partners? Do you think like, oh, this is just so much and I love doing it? Like, what are your thoughts on 99 trade partners?
It's the worst. Now, I mean, I approach trading differently in it. That's for sure. There are plenty of times where, like, if I want to go shop a player in a 12-team league, I'll send an offer to every team in that league. I don't do that in this league because that would be a nightmare. If I'm gonna get rid of a player, I might put a message in the chat. I say, you know, tell me, I'll send you an offer. Like, I will send the offer first because I know some people don't like to make the first offer. I don't mind doing that. But tell me, because I don't want to send out 99 of them. what happens more often than not is I'm not looking to get rid of a guy. I'm looking to add a guy. So that's not that bad because there's a lot of guys that aren't on a lot of rosters. And if it's somebody that's already, you know, got a high roster ship, they're probably on mine. They're probably on my roster too. You know, some guy might be on 70 rosters at this point. And then there's other guys that aren't even going to be rostered in this league probably ever, which is just.
Yeah, weird. No, I mean, I'm sure that I haven't looked recently, but I'm sure Cordarrelle Patterson is on 90 of the 100 teams.
Yeah, I think he is the highest. I think he, after the last set of waiver runs, because he was one of the few that was the below the 20. You couldn't, we should explain that you could not get anybody in the top 20 able to be added via waivers. Patterson was below that. So of course, anytime waivers run, people go and add him because it's a 100 team league with 100 copies of every player. So there's no limit. He can be on every single roster, at which point he's basically worth nothing because he's on every single roster.
Yeah, which is interesting because we did talk about it. He was traded for a third round pick before one of the waiver runs, and everyone was like, "That's crazy, trading Cordarrelle Patterson for a third round pick." But in all actuality, it was really a third round pick for a blind bid dollar, which you know you could argue was a bad trade in itself. But it wasn't really Cordarrelle Patterson for a third, it because of the way the format is.
Yeah, they saved their dollar and they could spend their dollar somewhere else, essentially, because you have a very limited amount of waiver wire pickups in this league. Everybody was limited to three. So there was 300 maximum that was finite. You could not add one, you could trade.
But and someone did notate like $70 went unused, which it was nuts.
It's just I mean, we knew it was going to happen, like, because there's out of 100 people, some people are going to be inactive. I am nervous as can be to see what the turnover on that is going to be. But I mean, there was like 50 people that wanted in it that didn't get in it last year. Yeah. So hopefully I can backfill it. It's definitely unique. And I'm looking for my team and your team. We finished in similar spots. So I will say that I'm looking forward to the rookie draft part where I get to select whatever rookie I want out of it.
So I talked about how, you know, I'm usually a pretty active waiver wire guy. Do one thing with that league that, like, I felt kind of stuck at times. Mm-hmm. Yes, I could have made a trade with one of the 99 owners, but I didn't, like, it's not like I could cut the dead weight very often. I could cut the dead weight on three players. Yeah. And when
you're
in
that, you can drop anytime. You can still drop anytime.
Sure, but there's no benefit to dropping.
No, there's not. But you don't have to look at that garbage on your roster.
Yeah, but there is, like, that is an interesting facet of the league that it kind of, you know, gives extra value to, like, hitting on a player, whether it's through the draft or startup or the waiver wire. Because if you miss, it's literally dead weight on your roster, and it's very hard to then replace that player. Like, if I miss on a third-round rookie pick in a traditional league, I can just go add, you know, the hot waiver wire pick. You can't really do that with this format.
Yeah, because of the limited waiver runs, what was it after, like, it was every, like, 3 or 4 weeks or something. So it was, like, after week 3 or 4, and then after, like, week 7 or 8, something like that. That's when we'd have a waiver run. So you really had to wait. Which it would have been kind of fun. I kind of wish it would have run after week 1, after week 2, after week 3. Because think back to those 3 weeks, how many hot waiver wire pickups there were that did nothing. They had a good game, and then we never heard from them the rest of the season. And people would have just burned their waiver dollars on those guys.
So you mentioned, we'll kind of wrap up with this. You mentioned the potential for league turnover. Dan Myler has his Dynasty Day Trading League that he has come out and said that, like, there are major changes coming in the offseason because of, you know, things that have, you know, happened in the first year and yada, yada. Do you anticipate any major changes to Kaleidoscope? Do you think that it'll run smoothly outside of maybe you having to hawk down a few extra owners because of managers leaving? Do you anticipate, you know, after year one of the league with no name, like, almost like the format was flipped on its head. Like, I had to make major changes. Everyone went in with one division or conference, and I was like, okay, everyone needs two, or else it doesn't work, which was a major change. So is there anything to give a sneak peek to the other 99 managers, but also just to anyone dealing with having to deal with, you know, possible major changes? Is there anything with Kaleidoscope, or do you think that it's going to be able to run as is going into year two.
So in general, I would say anytime you take a risk on a league like this, you have to be prepared to make changes after year one. And I think anybody that joins a league like this has to understand, look, this might change. But this is when you try something that you've never done before, and really, like, nobody's done it before, you're going to come across unexpected things. So I can see why Dan will be making changes in Dynasty J trading there that I think he wants to correct to make that league better, which is great. Honestly, with Kaleidoscope, it kind of ran how I wish there was a way to make the waivers more options, like run it more weeks maybe, but at the time, I don't want them to become to the point where everybody gets this guy. And it's part of the advantage of the waiver is it's of that guy's production. So I kind of, as much as I want there to be more opportunities to get more guys, but it's set that way is so that you have to make your decision on when to go for the guy. Or do you wait and try and, you know, get a guy? The way it worked out, we did set it up as an all play. So basically you play every single manager, that leads to real fast discrepancies in the records. I wish there was a way to combat that, but I set it up. I don't want to have a bunch of matchups.
would total points possibly decrease that discrepancy, or do you think it would?
I think, if you did total points, if you've done any kind of best ball league on Underdog or MFL 10s, granted, that was only 12 teams or 14 or something like that, but usually the last couple of weeks of that are pretty anticlimactic as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure that would decrease it. It probably would to three because more people would be really close, but it's still going to be a large percentage of people when you come down the stretch aren't going to be involved. And I mean, if you take a regular like 12 team best ball league, the last 2 weeks of the year, there's probably 2 to 3 managers that have a legitimate shot at winning it. And usually the first seed has 100-point lead in a one copy 12 team league, and it's pretty clear they're going to win. So percentage wise, I think we're pretty much on track. Anyways, there are a few teams that have been really, really hot, like, and they're way out in advance, but they're not so far ahead of the other ones up at the top that they're completely out of it. But I mean, there's probably 90 teams that have just absolutely no shot from here on, which is a shame, but I don't really know how to combat that.
Yeah, and one interesting thing, which honestly I hadn't really looked at the standings recently because my team's thanks.
you're above me though, by 3 spots.
First and second place in the all play standings. Okay, there is a 27-point difference, which is not very much, but there is a 70 win loss difference between the two, which is nuts that a 27-point difference results in that many wins and losses. Granted, you're playing 99 matchups every single week, but that is probably still a almost insurmountable lead at this point in the season.
And the guy that's in the lead right now was probably the most active in the startup. I mean, I bet if I went back and looked at number trades,
there was David Glidden.
Oh yeah, he was pretty active too. But I mean, Andy Mabry at Star Chucker, he was extremely active. He made trades constantly, and he found little edges. He did more than me, apparently. And I mean, like, so there's every week somebody in this league goes 99-0. Like, I haven't felt that feeling yet, but that's got to feel really good when you're the top scorer for the week and you beat every other team. Of course, I haven't looked and I don't know for sure, but I've probably been 0-99 once or twice this year too. So that's sad.
All righty. That should wrap up our Kaleidoscope conversation. Before you head out, John, anything that you need to tell the people?
Abolish the trade deadlines, folks. trading should be part of your playoffs because, you know, it's a pretty big part of Dynasty. So like, why do we ignore that part of Dynasty when we're trying to award the championship?
Because trade deadlines create action. I don't have a way to prove that, but that's what I'm going to say.
They don't. Manager's create action.
All right. I don't know if I'll ever invite John back on the podcast, but I appreciate having him.
I forgot that you're pro deadline.
I'm not that pro deadline. I'm pro deadline, but I'm not like, if you don't have a deadline, you should die. All right. That should wrap us up. We'll talk to you guys next time. We appreciate John for hopping on. Make sure to listen to all 18 of his podcasts. They're all lovely.
Thanks, Nathan.
Kadosh.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.